This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare and Intuitive. Intuitive is the world's leader in robotic-assisted surgery. This is Scott Becker, and I'm thrilled today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast to be joined by Phil Kambeck. Phil is now the relatively long-term CEO of Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee, Illinois, a tremendously successful CEO. Phil, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Phil Kambeck. I'm president and CEO at Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee, Illinois. I have been in the CEO role going on my 15th year, and I have been employed by Riverside going on 35 years now.
That's amazing. And I remember when you became CEO after the period of time that the tenure of Dennis Milliron, a terrific person as well. Give us a sense, Phil, of Riverside is still a single hospital system, a very successful single hospital system, which is unusual in today's day and age. Give us a side of Riverside and sort of how it came to be, how it became to be the strongest hospital in your region, how it built some great specialties. Talk to us a little bit about Riverside.
Sure, absolutely, Scott. You know, I always consider Riverside, we're a single hospital integrated delivery system. And by that, we have a very broad continuum of care and a pretty good outreach program. So we're not only an acute care community hospital, we do everything from open heart surgery to spine surgery to delivering babies to we have an inpatient behavioral health unit. Those are all on the acute care side of things. But we have a whole post-acute care continuum. So we have a lot of senior housing, independent living, assisted living, a skilled nursing facility, long-term care facility, all within our market. And then on the community care side of things, we're joint ventured with three ambulatory surgery centers. We have eight immediate cares in operation, four outpatient campuses. Riverside Medical Group employs about 170 to 180 providers now. So really a very broad continuum of care, and we are we cover about a 30-mile radius around the main hospital, which is located in Kankakee. We're about $415 million in net revenues as of last year. So that's kind of a snapshot of what we are.
Thank you. And let's talk for a moment about strategic planning. I know you guys have done a lot over the years in terms of building out the integrated delivery system you have there, including the post-acute, plus with alliances too. Talk to us a little bit about how you think about strategy generally and how you approach the strategic planning process, Phil.
Yeah, you know, from our standpoint, I'm not and no offense to anybody listening, not a big fan of big consulting. Typically, if I use a consultant, it's going to be a boutique company. And from a strategic standpoint, you know, this is an ongoing thing. I don't bring a consulting company in to do a strategic plan and have it sit on the shelf for 3 years or 5 years. We do a strategic plan every year. So we do our management plan, which is a one-year term based on that, and we do this internal. Then we develop a 3 to 4 year strategic plan. So we have a plan of finance, we have a master facility plan, a master equipment plan associated. But we do all of that internally here. And so between my senior team and some of our key directors, we put those documents together. We have a board planning retreat where we present what we want to do from a plan of finance standpoint, from a building standpoint. They approve it and we move on. But we do that every year.
And how do you think about where you continue the strategy as it is, where you're going to make some bigger bets, where you're going to touch some new things? Any thoughts on how you look at those kinds of things, sort of doubling down on what's working versus some new bigger bets versus some smaller bets? How do you sort of look at those things, Phil?
I'm very active in the healthcare community. This year, I'm actually chair of the Illinois Hospital Association. My CFO is very active. My leadership team is very active. And so to get a feel for what's happening out in the industry in general, I think that's so important. You know, we're kind of doubling down on what's working right now. And we're always have an eye for new technology or eye for new strategy. I tell everybody, I like to be leading edge, not bleeding edge. And so again, as a community hospital system, Again, I think we have to stay at the leading edge, but I don't like to get too far over my skis.
Well, fascinating. Now, and I remember just 7 to 10 years ago when the system was a $250 million system versus a $415 or $430 million system. So whatever you're doing in terms of doubling down on what's working, you're doing it well and maintain a magnificent reputation.
Thank you.
I mean, the question is always asked, particularly of single hospital systems, even big health systems, independents, alliances, how do you look at those kinds of things? And I know like any system, periodically you think about those things. How do you sort of, what's the perspective on, can you stay independent, alliances, and how to continue to navigate?
Yeah. You know, I look at it a little bit differently from the standpoint of if we wanted to do a relationship with someone, right? And again, I have a good relationship with all the major academics in Chicago, whether it's UFC or Rush or Northwestern. What I look at is, what can I bring to the table to help them, and what can they bring to the table to help me? And when that match makes sense to me, to the organization, to our community, we will really consider it. Oftentimes, I see a lot of independents merging for either the wrong reason or because they have to. I'd much rather merge for the right reasons, for the benefit of the communities that we serve, for the benefit of the system as a whole that we would join, and for our benefit.
I mean, 100%. I mean, when people look at transactions, we say they almost look at them for one of three reasons. Just there's just they need to, or there's something a partner can really bring to help them, or particularly in the for-profit world, there's just a big pot of money to come with it.
Right.
So it's often one of three. There'll be such a huge endowment given to the community that you sort of have to, or you're in financial trouble and you have to. Or it's really a situation where somebody else and you together can really do the 1 + 1 = 3, or they can really bring something to you that you otherwise couldn't do yourselves. But absent those things or those desires, there's no rush to do it. And as you've said, you know, so many people have done it that shouldn't do it, and then so many people have done it after they're in such a position of weakness that they have to do it. And you and I have seen that with rural hospitals throughout the state as well, particularly as you now serve as president of the Illinois Hospital Association at a fascinating vantage point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Phil, when you look at the system the next few years, assuming the world doesn't go upside down and you know, and crazy things don't happen, which always can happen,
right,
what are the couple of things that Riverside has to keep doing well to be successful?
Yeah. And as I think about that question, it's hard to narrow it to one, but I'll narrow it to three maybe, Scott. The first one is, you know, quality care. People go to a hospital because they expect to get better. They expect to have a good care. And that's just essential. That's just the baseline. Riverside's been a top 100 hospital by Truven Analytics 10 times since I've been CEO. And we want to continue that trend going forward. But patients want a quality of care when they go to an organization. I believe quality of care also includes that whole patient experience and patient satisfaction. So you need to be at a premier level from a quality of care, patient satisfaction standpoint. So that's one thing, and that's what we always strive for here at Riverside. The second thing, you know, we're too difficult to access in healthcare. Right, we have a whole new group of consumers coming up, millennials, who want to use their cell phone. We need to adapt to technology faster, and we're doing things at Riverside, but it's never fast enough for me. How do we make it easy for people to utilize our services? Because if it's not, they're going to go somewhere else where it is easier. And so, quality, access, and the third one is physicians. We have done a nice job of recruiting some very high quality physicians and supporting some high quality programs here at Riverside. But physician recruitment is never easy. Physicians have a lot of different places to go to, but we've implemented a lot of strategies that have been very successful for us to recruit some very, very high quality physicians to our community. And that's really what I attribute our success to.
So really three things you talk about, and I'll start with the last one. In an era of increasing shortages in really everything, mm-hmm. continue to physician recruit and keep physicians and strengthen the physician population. Second is making patient experience better and better. more access, more digitized, everything the patients expect to be more connected to the patient. And finally, quality. At the end of the day, no system can survive long term without great quality. And I think it, magnificent 3 points, clearly sort of blocking and tackling, but so important to keep people's minds and focus on those. You and I have seen hospital systems where the board members don't want their own families to have care at the hospital. And we know that that's a leading indicator of the beginning of the end of that hospital. And you guys have really taken the opposite approach. You want the place to be a magnet for magnificent care, great physicians, and constantly working on improving the patient experience and patient engagement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Phil, you've done a terrific job at Riverside. Let me ask this question. How do people learn more about Riverside? I mean, it's really become a gem of a health system just south of Chicago, about 60 miles south of Chicago, still a relatively healthy community, and notwithstanding all kinds of changes in the community from moving from a manufacturing community to a mix of a services community, the health system has stayed pretty strong, or very, very strong. How do people learn more about Riverside, Phil?
You know, really, the internet, right? The website. I would recommend people just go to our website first. I would even just go to Google and type Riverside Kankakee, and that'll pop up our website, and take a look at us there. You made a comment. I just want to follow up on that. You know, it's interesting. We're in the Rust Belt, right? A lot of communities in Illinois have lost population. They've lost jobs, et cetera. It's amazing to me how that stigma will stay with you. But right now in Kankakee County, we have the largest development in the entire state going on with a company called CSL Behring. They're investing billions of dollars in their pharmaceutical manufacturing site here in Kankakee County. So just some really nice companies developing and growing. So I see lots of positives happening for our region. So very excited about that. Nucor Steel has a plant where they just built a brand new mill. They're making huge capital investments. And really, I think we're kind of bucking the trend in that most of the organizations and businesses within our community are really growing. So it's been fantastic to see, and helps the hospital from that standpoint as well. But really, from finding out more, go to our website.
Let me ask you one more question. So you have the phone, because one of the recognitions I've had over the last 15 years in watching you lead is the sustainability of your leadership team and the in the close-knit nature. It's diverse, it's women and men, it's gender balance, it always has been. But sort of that maintaining of that team over a long period of time does make strategy and execution a lot easier. Any pieces of advice for the audience on keeping a management team in sync, keeping a management team growing and thriving, and that kind of retention that you've enjoyed?
Yeah. You know, culture matters, Scott, and it's so important. And it's communicate, communicate, communicate. I try to do that from my leadership position. I am only the third CEO of Riverside in the past 55, 56 years now. So we've had a lot of continuity of leadership. I have some very long tenured people on my senior team, over 30 years of experience, but I also bring in some new ones. But it really is establishing that culture where people are comfortable making decisions, moving forward. And if it's not the right decision, you work with them and you fix that decision. But it really does come down to culture and creating a culture where people feel empowered to make decisions, to take some risk, and to drive the organization forward.
Well, I appreciate, Phil, so much you joining our talk today. Just a magnificent job you've done. It's inspirational. You're always filled with incredible integrity, and just a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for joining us today. This podcast was brought to you by Becker's Healthcare and Intuitive. Intuitive is the world leader in robotic-assisted surgery.